Sounds like home to me. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5 and then Hebrews chapter number 9. We'll read from Romans chapter number 5. First, turn me up just a little bit, Brother James. I'm having some trouble with my throat. Romans chapter number 5 and then Hebrews chapter number 9. Say amen when you find those. And we want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture together this morning and deal with a pretty sobering thought. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Y'all understand that, what he's talking about, right? Did you know man was born in a perfect place, in a perfect society, with a perfect body? Do you understand that? People are trying feverishly, and one of the most popular businesses, I think, to open in America right now is a gym. People are spending hands over fist money trying to lose weight and trying to bulk up and be fit. But you know, there's no such thing anymore as a perfect body. You understand that? But I believe Adam had one, and I believe Eve had one. Did you know when God created man in the garden, He created him an eternal being? Do you understand that? Whatever age he was, I've heard people speculate about it, how exactly old Adam was when God created him. He didn't create him a baby. He created him a man. And whatever that perfect age of life is, that is the age that he was. Amen. And he didn't have birthdays. Every year, he just kept looking the same and looking the same, looking the same. Eve wasn't getting gray. There wasn't no crow's feet under her eyes. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? They were eternal beings. But one day, the Bible said, "Whereby as one man sin entered into the world." In other words, sin entered the world when the serpent tempted Eve and she took of that forbidden fruit, and then Adam also. Now the curse of sin has entered into the world. In other words, something has happened between the relationship of God and man. The day before, God and man were at perfect peace and would have remained that way throughout all eternity. But when sin entered the thing, man made a choice to sin. Somebody said if God created a perfect world and He put man and woman in a perfect place and everything was so great and so grand, why did He put that tree there? One reason alone. He wanted man to love Him and to serve Him because he wanted to. Because he wanted to. You say, well, why didn't God just sweep it under the rug and go on? He could no longer be God if He did that. If God did that, God would no longer be just and God would no longer be holy. So the sin issue had to be dealt with. And by the way, it still does today. Amen. Whereby one man's sin entered into the world. Now I want you to look at the next phrase, "and death by sin." So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You understand, part of the curse of the sin in the Garden of Eden was that all of a sudden that body started aging and that body started wearing out, and that body no longer was eternal. Now there is a part inside that body that is eternal, but that body of flesh is no longer an eternal thing. It's dying every single day. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. I want you to look at this very carefully this morning as we think about dealing with death. Dealing with death. I have to deal with it probably more than most of you. But you have to deal with it somewhere in some fashion in your life. Every one of us has had to face that, maybe not in our own personal life, but in the life of family and friends and relatives. We have had to deal with the issue of death. It's not a popular thing to preach about. It's not a popular thing to talk about. Why? Because I personally don't want to think about it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't want to think about it. Every year I have a birthday. And used to, when I was little, birthdays were exciting. I could tell you how many days and hours and minutes it was to my next birthday, because I knew there's going to be a party, there's going to be cake, and there's going to be present. And I was never between 14 and 15. I was 14 and a half, 14 and three quarters. I mean, you know, you're looking forward. Now when those birthdays come, it's just like a gruesome reminder. Come on, y'all, help me. I mean, it's just like you're old. I forget exactly what it was my little grandson said. He was at our house one day, and my wife said something to him about being just like Papa. And he said, "I don't want to be 40. And I thought, "I do." Amen. Somebody help me right there. Amen. I trade 47 for 40 any day. Amen. He said, "I don't want to be 40. But we think about getting old, and every year as that birthday comes, we wonder, I wonder how many more of these I have left. We don't want to deal with death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, if you're looking at it, the Bible says, "But as it is appointed unto man, once to die, and after this, the judgment." Not a camp meeting message this morning, but something to get you thinking about yourself. Now listen, Wednesday afternoon I got a phone call. I was getting ready for church. I was looking over my notes and getting ready to preach. And my mother called and she said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm at home getting ready to preach." She said, "I need you to get dressed, get ready, and get to Piedmont Hospital as fast as you can. It's not good." Between my journey from leaving the house and reaching Piedmont Hospital, my Aunt Gail Weldon went home to be with the Lord. And when I got to the hospital, I knew when I saw Stephanie and I saw Amber, they didn't have to tell me. I knew what had happened. And there I was faced with that. I had to deal with it. The day before, I sat beside her bed for a couple of hours or two or three hours, and we talked and we laughed and we cut up, and never a thought entered my mind that I'm going to lose her. Even at that point when her body was so weak, I mean, in my mind, she's going in for dialysis tomorrow. They're going to get the toxins out of her blood. They're going to be able to do the heart surgery. Aunt Gail's going to get strong. She's going to come home and be with us, and everything's going to be just like it always has been. But Wednesday, I had to face reality. Wednesday, we had to look death right square in the eyeballs and deal with it. Amen. Me and Aunt Lily were sitting in the kitchen there at the funeral home yesterday, and she was crying, and I looked over. I said, "Aunt Lily, let's just skip this and say we did." She said, "Sounds like a good idea to me. You go get the truck." But in reality, it wasn't something we could skip. It's something we had to deal with. Every one of us on some level in our lives have had to deal with death, and we're going to have to deal with death. Now, y'all watch this. It's just very elementary, but pay close attention. Do this with me. Now you have one less. Every breath you take in, every breath you blow out, you are one breath closer to the last one you'll ever take. In dealing with death, think about dealing with the death of a loved one. I thought about as I stood with Stephanie and Corby at the casket yesterday, I thought about, Lord, if this is this hard for me now, what am I going to do when it's my mama? But you know, the death of your loved ones isn't the one you need to deal with the most. The death of a spouse, a child, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle, that's not the death that you need to come to grips with the most. It is your own. It is your own. I cannot control the destiny or the future state of my loved one. My Aunt Gail had a testimony that she was saved. I was there at church when she trusted Christ as her Savior 30-something years ago at White Oak Springs when Larry Davis was preaching. I'll never forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday. But that was between her and God. That prepared her for dealing with her death. Now I've got to do what is right to prepare myself to deal with my own death. You said you sound like you're preaching a funeral this morning. Yes, I am. Yours. Chances are, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to stand over several more of your bodies before this thing's said and done with. Amen. Are y'all listening? Amen. I've been on both sides of the equation. I've been in the hospital and I've walked in and I've got the testimony straight out of the mouth of the loved one, like Miss Stacy's aunt. She told me about her being saved and how she knew the Lord. And boy, you talk about an easy funeral to preach. And then I've got phone calls. You know, some people never call a preacher till they need them to marry somebody or bury somebody. Never hear from them. Never, ever, ever till somebody's dead. You didn't need me yesterday. What do you need me today for? I know that's a bad attitude, and I wouldn't say that to anybody, but sometimes that's your thought. Are we okay this morning? I mean, boy, when death comes, they start hunting God in a hurry. Somebody they wasn't even interested in the day before, now all of a sudden he's relevant. Now all of a sudden he's important. Hey, why don't we go ahead and make him important right now? Right now, so we don't have to go hunting him when the day comes. We know right where he is all along. We don't have to travel far to find the man of God because we were just in church with him on Sunday. We okay? We need to come to the place where we deal with our own death. I hope you live to be 100. I'm joking. I do. I hope you live to be a ripe old age. Chances are many of us won't. Brother James handed us a note this morning, 44 years old, went out to meet God. I can carry you over to the cemetery, and I can take you to graves, Brother Robbie, that are that long. I can take you to graves that are that long and that long and every size in between. Death is no respect. It doesn't care who you are, how healthy you are. I can take you to a graveside where there's a little mother laying in a casket with a little baby under each arm, hit by a log truck. All they were expecting to do that day was take lunch to Daddy at work while Daddy stood there and waved bye to his babies out the back window of the car. The log truck hit them right in front of him. You don't ever know. So I'm just saying today we ought to deal with the fact that we're dying. We ought, every now and then somebody will come to me and say, did you hear so-and-so is dying? And the fact is, we all are. I've made that statement 10,000 times, but it still holds true every single day. I don't know how long I've got left, Brother Atkins. I don't know how many sermons are left. I don't know how many days are left. I don't know how many birthday parties are left. But I tell you this, I want to make the best of every one of them. And every day of my life, I want to know in my heart that I have the all my last breath, heaven's my home. If my last sight on this earth is a doctor staring down my face, I know my next sight will be me staring in the face of the lovely Son of God. Hey, you better have that in your heart. I've had to go to that funeral home where those preacher people who have no preacher, they have no church, and they call and they say, would you preach so-and-so my grandmother's funeral? And I go to the funeral home and I meet with a family, and I always take a little 3x5 card, Brother Atkins, because I want to get information. It's hard to preach somebody's funeral you don't know. And I start asking, I have a list of questions that I ask. My very first question, can you tell me when Granny got saved? So many times, here's the response. We don't know. Did you ever hear her talk about it? No, but I'm sure she was. What makes you sure? Amen. Then you have to stand there and try to comfort a family with nothing. I've been to funerals and heard preachers stand and talk about how so-and-so's in a better place, knowing dead well they're not. I won't do that. I won't stand and lie to a family, because that makes you believe that it doesn't matter how you live or what you believe. When you come to the end of the road, the preacher's going to tell everybody that it's okay, it's all right, because grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, husband, or wife, they're in a better place. No, they're only going to a better place if they know Christ as their Savior. There is a vast difference between the way a child of God dies and a Christian dies. Library, and Brother Freddie has it also, and I think probably Brother Charles, but it's a book. It's called The Last Sayings of Sinners and Saints. Oh, it'd amaze you to listen to testimonies of how people dying on their bed while they're drawing their last breath, screaming, I'm burning, I'm on fire, please help me, I'm on fire. You say, oh, that's delusion. No, it's your delusion. Then you read of those children of God who lay on their deathbed like my precious little grandmother Fuller and said, "Oh, oh, it's so pretty. Oh, it's so pretty." You say, "Oh, it's the medicine." Yeah, you go ahead and believe that all you want. Amen. The Bible says there's dying grace, and God gives grace to that one that's about to slip out of this world. Hey, as they travel, listen, when we go to Florida, I know we're getting close because I start seeing palm trees, Brother Charles. We're driving down that, what is it, 231, 430, whatever that is. We're going down that old long road going to Florida, and boy, the kids are going how much further, how much further, and all of a sudden there's a palm tree. Hey, that tells me we're not there yet, but we're getting close. I don't know what it is the child of God sees on that deathbed. I don't know if it's palm trees. I don't know if it's glimmers of light. I don't know what. Well, whatever it is, lets them know I'm not home yet, but I must be getting close. Hallelujah. There's something different about the way a child of God leaves this world and the way a poor old sinner leaves this world. I have no control over anybody but me. And I'm going to make sure I leave her right. I'm going to make sure I leave her knowing Christ as my Savior. Brother Jason prayed just a few minutes ago over the offering and said there was one thing he was sure of. He has to worry about a lot of other stuff, but that one thing he doesn't have to worry about. Brother Freddie must have taught on the eternal security of the believer in Sunday school this morning. Thank God I can surely stand and sing. I know my name is there. How about we doing okay this morning? Amen. It's hot in here, ain't it? Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to think about how long you have left. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I got a few points here, and I know what time it is. Quit worrying about it. Does your children know your testimony? Simple question. If they call me tomorrow and say, "Mama died," and I pull out my little 3x5 card and my pen and say, "Okay, tell me about when Mama got saved," are they going to look at me with that dumb look on their face like, It's not their responsibility to know whether or not you are. It's not their responsibility to have those dates or those places. It's not their responsibility to know your testimony. It's our responsibility to tell them. Do they know? Does your spouse know? Does the husband know? Does the wife know? Hey, I'm telling you, if you are saved this morning, make sure your family knows you are. And there's only one way you can do that, is to make sure yourself. Amen. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but if you are, you know it. If you're saved, you know it. Amen. I hope you're not counting on church membership. Well, this church sure ain't holy enough to keep you out of hell. We just a bunch of sinners saved by grace around here. Hey, you're not going to heaven because you hooked up with this crowd. If that's all you got, you're in bad shape, honey. If all you did is go through that baptistry, you're in trouble. Somebody help me right there. If all you did is sign a card somewhere, you're in a mess. You better have, this thing's personal. It's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. You better have her nailed down solid somewhere. Amen. You may fool the preacher. You may fool the church. You might even fool your family. But in your heart, you know. Somebody say, "I'm doubting my salvation." No, in your heart, you know. Amen. Got quiet on me again. Those of you who are saved know exactly what I'm talking about. You have those days when the devil comes and he starts trying to cast doubt, but down inside your heart, there's something bigger than any doubt he can throw your way. And that's the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. Amen. Get that thing settled today. Listen to me just for a few minutes. For the child of God, death, they're totally opposite. What death does for the Christian and what death does for the lost man, are totally, totally opposite. Just like day and night, just like white and black, just like cold and hot. I mean, they are totally, totally opposite. For the Christian who dies, death ends all sorrow and trouble. It's the end of every bit of sorrow and every bit of trouble. It's not a gradual ending. It's not something that wears off. When Aunt Gail was laying in the hospital eating her Chick-fil-A ice cream the other day, and all of a sudden her little body just went limp, it was over. It didn't wind down. It didn't slowly come to a grinding halt. It was over. But for the man who does not know Christ, it's just beginning. Do you understand that? What ends my trouble, what ends my sorrow, begins the sorrow and the trouble for a person who doesn't know Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Said, Job said, if I can see my notes this morning, Job said in Job chapter number 5, he said, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward.
Yeah.
That crowd on TV talking about everything's positive, positive, positive.
Yeah.
Oprah's interviewing America's pastor tonight. I'm tempted to stay out of church and watch it. I wish they'd let me interview that coward liar one time. Everything ain't positive. Everything's not hunky-dory and peachy king. It's not always my bigger, better self. Y'all all right? You say, you're being critical. Very. Very. I could get very worse, too. Amen. Hey, I can tolerate somebody who is doctrinally off a little bit, but still preaching the gospel. But I cannot tolerate a liar. I smile while I said it. I cannot tolerate a liar. How dare get in the pulpit of God, take a Bible and lie to God's people. It's not all good. This life is full of trouble. The Lord said, ye shall have tribulation. There ain't nobody in here trouble free. If there is, let me know. I'd like to follow you around and learn your secret. Figure out what kind of pill you're taking, what kind of trip you're on. But I live in the real world. I live in the real world where teenagers do stupid things and husbands do stupid things and wives do stupid things and we hurt each other and we destroy each other. Hey, I live in a life, man, where cancer is real and leukemia is real. I live in a world where heart trouble is real and lung trouble is real and liver failure and kidney failure. Hey, man, you better get your head out of the dirt. Care who you are, we got to face trouble in this life. Every one of us. For the lost man, he has trouble too. It rains on the just and the unjust. The only difference between me and him, when my trouble comes, I got some help. I didn't have to walk up. I was hyperventilating yesterday. I had to go outside just so I could breathe. I told God, I stood right out there behind that hearse, and I said, God, this is on you. I can't do this without you. I don't even know what I said. I ain't really got a clue. I had some help. We got through yesterday because we had some help. We'll get through tomorrow because we had some help. Lost man, he just has no help. He's got to have the pill. We okay? You see in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 4, the Bible said, I like this. This is after we're gone now. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Woo! How about that? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm telling you, all the trouble and all the sorrow. I thought yesterday, I thought, I don't know how many more of these my heart can take. Brother Atkins, every time I walk in front of that casket and take that bit, I feel like a little of me dies. The day I walked in there and preached my daddy's funeral, I felt like part of me died. Yesterday as I walked down that aisle again and preached the funeral over my precious aunt, I felt like another part of me died. I don't know how many more of these my heart can take, but I'm glad one day my heart won't have to tell them ever again, because there'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more trials. Somebody say hallelujah. Help me, we'll have church this morning. It's coming close. We're almost done. D.L. Moody was held up by a mugger who stuck a pistol in his face. And Moody said this to the mugger, How dare you threaten me with heaven? In death, I have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have everything to lose and nothing to gain. For the child of God, it is the end of all sorrow and trouble. The end. The book is closed.
Amen.
Listen to me. For the last, I don't know how many years, my aunt has had COPD. And every other week, it seemed, my mother would call and say, Aunt Gail's back in the hospital. Aunt Gail's back in the hospital. I've visited her more in the hospital than anybody I've ever known. It's the truth. She's breathing good this morning.
Yes, sir.
She ain't got... Miss Lou, she ain't got no little oxygen bottle on the on a little wheel cart pulling around behind her. Hey, Christmas, she barely couldn't make her in the house. When she left the house at Christmas, I had to literally get behind her and shove her up into Stephanie's car. I believe she's clicking her heels over her head this morning. Hallelujah. Why? Because it is over. Thank God. Death for the child of God ends all sorrow and trouble. But for the poor old sinner who don't know him, it's just the beginning. The Bible said, talking about the rich man in Luke chapter number 15, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Somebody said, I don't believe you'll have a body in hell. He had eyes. Somebody said, I don't believe there's a real flame in hell. He said, would you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue? He had a tongue. He said, for I am in torment in this flame. You either take the Bible as it is or chunk it out, friend. Well, hell's just a place away from God. Yeah, it's away from God. But it's a place that burneth with fire and brimstone. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of torment forever and ever and ever. But for the Christian, death ends all pains. It ends all pains. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4, the Bible said, there should be no more death, thank God. Amen. I tell all the, I know every funeral director, I mean, we're close. I preach so many funerals, I know them. Mother said yesterday I was fixing the sound system and all at the funeral home. She said, you just know your way around. I said, yeah, I spend a lot of time in these places. I told Dennis Bellamy yesterday, I said, I'll be glad when you put out of business. I'll be glad when you're put out of business. He said, me too. I'll be glad when we've lowered that last casket in the ground. I've often said it, I hope I'm there. Somebody said, what are you going to be doing when the rapture takes place? Lowering a casket in the ground of a child of God. Wouldn't that be, that's the coolest thing I can think of. We're standing there reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58, and all of a sudden a rumbling and the sound of a trumpet, and that casket's going down in the ground. All of a sudden, there they come. Woo! See y'all, I'm next. Amen. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Now, I love this last little part right here. Neither shall there be any more pain. We suffer all kind of pain on this earth. Physical pain. Brother Warren's wife stumped her toe and broke it. Ain't nothing you can do for a broke toe. Duct tape them together and go on and do the best you can. Broke her toe. Oh, that hurts, man. That hurts. I mean, we have pain on this earth. And I can't even, I've never had to go through a round of chemo, Ashley. I can't start to even say I understand. But I watched you do it. That's enough to know I don't want no part of it. We go through physical pain on this earth. Some things that come because of these old fleshly bodies, man, they hurt. I've cried so much the last 3 days that, man, it just constantly feels like the top of my head is going to blow off. We have physical pain. But then we have spiritual pain and emotional pain. There's no pain in the world like a heartache or a heartbreak.
Amen, brother.
Man, when I walked into that funeral home Friday at 4 o'clock, we went in for the family. I'm Brother Eddie. You understand that? Did you know what that implies?
Amen.
I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm the pastor of this great church. I'm going to be okay. But when I walked in that room, all that stuff went out the window. I wasn't her pastor. I was her favorite nephew. And the rest of you always remember that too. That was one of the dearest people in my life. And my heart felt like it was going to explode. Emotional pain. But for the child of God, one day that will be over. Amen. Said and done. Over! That old rich man that died and went to hell. You know what his request was? First, he wanted that water to touch his tongue. He said, hey, won't you send somebody over there? Resurrect old Lazarus. Let him go tell him, I got some brothers. I don't want them to come to that awful place. I don't want them to come here, and perhaps one that was raised from the dead, if they'd go and tell him, perhaps they'd believe. Too late, friend. Too late. When my pain is over, the lost man's pain has just begun. When I was a teenager, a popular rock and roll singer was Bon Scott with AC/DC. He wrote a song and sang it. He drugged and drank himself to death, died in his own vomit. Wasn't nothing pretty. They stood around his graveside, and you know what they sang? I'm on the highway to hell. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on the highway to hell. There's a crowd that have you believe that hell's a party. People say all the time, man, if you die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Oh, yeah, I'm going to hell if I don't change my ways. What a stupid statement. Amen. What an idiotic, moronic thing to say. Yes, I'm going to hell. It's one thing to be lost and not know it, but it's another thing to be lost and know it and not do anything about it. My pain ends, his begun. Angus Young is not singing, or Bon Scott is not singing Highway to Hell tonight. He's screaming, get me out of hell. Amen. Totally different. Totally different. When my pain ends, if you're not saved, your death will be just when yours begins. Friend, hell is something you don't know part of. Preachers won't preach anymore. But yet they're still burning by the millions. Y'all okay? Just because it's not a popular subject doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. How many of you would like to stand over the casket of one of your children and not know? For the child of God, death ends all pains. For the child of God, death ends all bereavement. Look what he said in Revelation 21. He said, there should be no more death. That means there'll be no more funeral. If there ain't no death, I don't no need to have no funeral. Amen. Amen. Y'all, be the last time you'll ever have to sing that heaven medley again. Won't that be something? Because you'll be there. Amen. And if you sing that song, they'll all be looking at you like, duh. Amen. If I have to go by way of the grave, I don't mind. I really don't. That's not my number one choice. I'd like to be there with that 1 Thessalonians crowd. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, where he said a trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in there. I'd like to be in that crowd. And I believe it's a very good possibility. People look at you like, what? Y'all believe in the rapture of the church? You believe the Lord's going to come, call His children out of this thing one of these days? I believe one of these days He's going to say, lay down the weapons, boys. Come out of the foxhole. The battle's over. Come on home. Amen. Amen, amen. Listen, for the Christian, death not only ends all sorrow and trouble, it not only ends all pain and bereavement, but it ends all failures. I thought about this last night. Brother Atkins, when I die, I'll never mess up again. You ever thought about that? You know, I try to do right. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter number 7. He said, the more I try to do right, the more I mess up. When I want to do good, evil's present with me. Anybody like that? Amen. You make up your mind, all right, bless God, here's a New Year's resolution. I'm going to do right. And that works pretty good till you mess up. You say, a preacher shouldn't talk like that. I'm human just like you are. I put my britches on just like some of you men did this morning. Y'all listen to me? Human being. Don't leave, this fish get good. Human. Body of flesh. That's what we are. But one of these days, you see, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know why? It's messed up. It's flawed. It's broken. But one of these days, there's going to be a new body that's not messed up. Some of y'all pretty proud of that, and you got, it's a piece of junk. It's a lemon. It's a beater. Amen, amen, amen. I watched Casey come in this morning. Casey, he's, I don't know, he thinks he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He pumps up out. He's got muscles. He put on my jacket this morning, busted all the pieces. Got muscles. He's still a piece of junk. You a piece of junk. You just a big piece of junk. Amen. I'm a Volkswagen piece and you a Cadillac piece. Amen. Amen. We are. This just old body, it's falling apart. It's failing. Thank God one of these days, woo, it'll never fail again. That means I'm not going to get up every day because they ain't going to be night, but I'm just going to live throughout all eternity, and every day it'll be right. Amen. You know why? Because I'm going to get that body Adam had back yonder before the fall. Amen. Woo! I'm excited about it. I'm a going, are you? You stay here if you want to. Amen. I've run into that crowd, especially in this area where I grew up. Everybody don't believe in the rapture. I don't see how you can read the Bible and not. I mean, we ain't going to go there. I could go there this morning and help you out with it. If you need some help, see me. I'll show you. Amen. Revelation chapter number 4, the church is gone. Yeah. All that junk in the middle, you don't see her mentioned again until we come back with him. Yeah. We out of here, friend. Yeah. John said, I looked and the door was open. And he said, come up hither. Hallelujah. Yeah. I take that stuff literal, friend. Yeah. Amen. We're out of here. Amen. One guy told me, he said, well, I don't believe in the rapture like y'all. I said, well, stay here. Ain't nobody forcing you to go. I'm going on the first load, Brother Charles. Yes. Amen. One old guy told me, one old preacher man, he said, I know y'all all that premillennial doctrine stuff. He said, I don't necessarily agree with that. I said, you will. Yeah. I said, are you saved? He said, I know for a fact I'm saved. I said, you will believe in the rapture. Amen. When it happens, I don't believe one of them's going to be going, flying through there going, no, not yet. I want to stay. They'll get it. Heaven's going to fix a lot of stuff. You know it. I believe a lot of us are going to get there and go, oh, they're here? Hey, hey, man. We got friends in this town, man. They think they're the only ones going. They really do. And I know I'm on the radio and most of them are already out and listening. I love you. But we're coming too, amen. Hallelujah. I gotta quit. Death for the unsaved man. There's an ending in his death too. All his pleasure will come to a screeching halt. For me, I live a wonderful life. I'm a happy man. I enjoy this. I enjoy what we do. I enjoy being together. I enjoy flying around the country and preaching the gospel. I enjoy it with all my heart. But when I die, it's just going to get better. The singing, the shouting. It's just, if Legina scared you this morning, I'm talking about the lady that shouted. Now, we call that shouting. Some of y'all call it screaming. I don't give a flip what you call it. I call it rejoicing. If that bothers you, you might want to double check about going to heaven. I don't think there's a quiet reserve section there. I don't believe there's a spot up there reserved for silent worshipers. I don't believe there'll be none of that going on. Amen. But at death, pleasure comes to an end for a lost man. Listen, I believe God. I'm not one of these Christians that believe you have to be hoarded up in some place somewhere and can enjoy nothing to be right with God.
Amen.
God put fishing rods on this earth for me to enjoy.
Amen.
Deer were created for one reason. Not to make a cartoon. Y'all okay? PETA's going to come in here and storm me one of these days. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has given us on this earth to enjoy. Nothing wrong with it until it gets between you and Him. But see, my pleasure is only going to get better. My pleasure, I can't even explain it. I can't even understand it. I don't even know how good it's going to be because my mind couldn't comprehend it. Listen, man, if you leave this life without Christ, you better enjoy what you got because it's over. Death also ends all opportunity to be saved.
Yes, amen.
Several years ago, Brother Todd, if y'all would, just come to the piano. Several years ago, we had our seniors on a senior trip. We were out in San Diego, California. And we kept noticing as we'd go back and forth on the freeway, there was one of the prettiest and largest church buildings I'd ever seen in my life. This place is built out of the whitest stone, Brother Freddie. You've seen it. The whitest stone. It's as white as that napkin right there. Just snow white, and it's just humongous. Big old gold angel on the top of it. At the time, I didn't have a clue what that was. I said, I want to go look at that building. So we got off the exit, and wouldn't you know, I'd have Melissa Waters and Candace Baker with me. That was their senior trip. We pulled up and we were greeted at the sidewalk and people were all around, and the young lady said, can I help you? I said, yeah, we want to go in and check this place out. She said, oh no. She said, I can't even go in there. It was a Mormon church. That was the angel Moroni on the top of the church. I said, you can't go in, or is it under construction? She said, oh no, only you have to be on a certain level to go in there. I'd hate to belong to a church I couldn't go in. Wouldn't you? I'd hate to belong to a church I had to stand in the parking lot. Seriously. I said, well, what are they doing in there? She didn't say it like this, but they're walking around in holy underwear, praying for people who are already dead. Too late. Death for the lost man. You're not praying anyone into heaven. Now, you can pray for conviction while they're alive, but after they're dead, that's it. Personally, I know people who are in hell this morning, and it breaks my heart. I went to school with people who died in car wrecks, who went out to meet God without knowing. I've preached the funerals of people that I knew. I've had children look me in the face and say, he's in hell. The only comfort I could give them was make sure you don't. Make sure the rest of your family don't. When you breathe that last breath, friend, it's over. Somebody said, well, I'll wait till it gets closer to time. What if you're in no shape? What if you're on life support? Probably about 13, 14 years ago, we had a little girl come to our Christian school. Her name was Tanya. On a Friday chapel or Wednesday, whatever day we had chapel on. I know Megan's here. I saw her somewhere. I preached chapel that morning, and during chapel, God dealt with Tanya's heart. Megan got Tanya, and they knelt down in between the pews right there in that chapel service, and Tanya trusted Christ as her Savior. 3 weeks later, we took the youth choir on a trip to Marshtown, Tennessee. The kids were going to do skits and sing, and I was to preach, and I was going to take them to Gatlinburg, and we was going to ride the go-karts and just have a good time. Tanya got up early that morning when we was going to Gatlinburg, got in the shower, had a seizure, asphyxiated, and died. She wasn't planning on dying. She's planning on riding go-karts and bungee jumping and all that stuff. You don't never know. You better get that thing taken care of now. You say, well, what if I can't live it? Friend, that's an afterthought. There ain't a man, woman, boy, and a girl in this place that can live it. It ain't us, friend, it's him. And we're still a mess at best. We have to work at it. When we mess up, we have to ask God to forgive us and get it right and go on. That's the Christian life. Don't put it off. I don't know who I'm preaching this far this morning. I ain't got a clue. Somebody said, oh, he's preaching right to me. If that's the way you feel, I am. But I don't know about it. But you do. And the Holy Spirit who's tugging at your heart, he do. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Dealing with death. Have you dealt with yours? Have you dealt with the fact that you're going to die and you need to make preparation for that? Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Give us just a minute or two and we'll be out of here. Some are already coming to pray. But listen, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder how many people in this building this morning can tell me without a shadow of a doubt that you know for a fact that if I had to preach your funeral tomorrow, you'd say, Brother Eddie, tell my family I'm in heaven because I've got that settled in my soul. Just slip your hand up. You got it settled. You know it as well as you know your own name. Thank you this morning. Thank you for being honest. Sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we just need to be honest with God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. This morning, if you couldn't raise your hand, if you don't know for certainty that if you died today, heaven would be your home, I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I wouldn't drag you to an altar. I don't do that. I just want to pray for you. If you say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Preacher, if you can really know in your heart, I'd like to get that settled. Please pray for me. Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. God bless you, hon. God bless you, kids. Thank you so much. Brother Eddie, pray for me. I ain't sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Fathers, we come to you again this morning. God, we thank you for a good and a glorious day. Thank you for the hands that was raised this morning. Lord, giving a testimony that I know my name is there. I know if I died today, heaven would be my home. Thank you for that, God. Lord, just like the old song says, I want us to be together in heaven. Lord, I'm so glad of all the many hands that were raised this morning. But God, you saw those that couldn't raise their hand. Lord, you saw those little ones, Lord. Lord, if it's the time for them, I pray they'd get saved today. Lord, if it's not quite time, I pray you'd keep dealing with their heart till it is. Father, just please have your way in this invitation. Don't let anybody leave without you. Lord, help us all to be mindful. Lord, not living in a doom and gloom state. Oh, no, I'm going to die today. But God, help us to, Lord, to be conscious of the fact that one day we're going to leave this earth. We're going to have a last opportunity to witness to our loved ones. We're going to have a last opportunity to serve you. God, help us to, Lord, just help us to be conscious about that thing. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be conscious about the thing that there are people who couldn't raise their hand. Lord, please help us to reach them for the cause of Christ. God, have your way in this altar call. We'll thank you. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.